Good morning. Our reading today is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22, and reading between verses 14 and 20. In terms of finding page numbers in the church Bibles, if you've got the NIV, which is the maroon bound copies, that's on page 1058. Or in the contemporary English version from which I'm going to be reading, it can be found on page 1270. So that's Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 20. And it's headed the Lord's Supper in this version. When the time came for Jesus and the apostles to eat, he said to them, "I have very much wanted to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. I tell you that I will not eat another Passover meal until it is finally eaten in God's kingdom." Jesus took a cup of wine in his hands and gave thanks to God. Then he told the apostles, "Take this wine and share it with each other. I tell you that I will not drink any more wine until God's kingdom comes." Jesus took some bread in his hands and gave thanks for it. He broke the bread and handed it to his apostles. Then he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat this as a way of remembering me." After the meal, he took another cup of wine in his hands. Then he said, "This is my blood. It is poured out for you, and with it, God makes his new agreement."
Lord, we thank you for our dear brother and friend. We pray, Lord, that you would come by your Holy Spirit upon him now, that it would not be his words, but your words. Lord, reveal what you want to say to Ray and impart those words to us. Give us ears to hear, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Right? Well now, I'm going to start by giving you a little Greek lesson. You all love foreign languages, don't you? Well, someone down the back there I know likes foreign languages, and our two linguists, I think, are away, unfortunately, but I'm going to teach you some Greek. The word at the top there, eucharisto. Do you like to say it? Four syllables. You, or... Ha-ris-sto. The emphasis is on the last syllable. Or modern Greek, Eucharisto. But the word hasn't fortunately changed very much over the years. What does that mean? Well, it means thank you. If you want to say thank you very much, Eucharisto polis. Good word to know. But that is where we get our word Eucharist from. What is a Eucharist? Well, we usually call it Holy Communion, don't we? The Eucharist, saying thank you to God. Now, those of you who are parents, of course, will be well practiced in teaching your children to say thank you. It's a thing we do by custom, but there is some sense in it. Because if somebody is giving a present, it's rather nice to have it received with a gracious acknowledgement of the gift. So say thank you. We teach our children, and it's polite to say thank you. Eucharisto. Do you say grace before meals? Always? Do you mean what you say? I wonder. I remember in RAF days being in the mess and on dining in nights once a month. Well, everybody was there, it was sort of a parade. That was its importance. And the whole proceeding of the meal would start off with saying, Mr. Grace, the Queen, and we'd all have to drink the Queen's health, in whether it be orange juice or more commonly alcoholic stuff, I suppose. But anyway, that's what we had to do. And then they said grace, and it was simply, thank God. And they all sat down and got over the meal. But I had a feeling it was awfully mechanical. And did they mean what they said? Thank God. It's good to say grace, isn't it, before meals. Let's keep the practice up. Whether you use the old-fashioned for what we're about to receive or be present at our table, Lord, be here and everywhere adored, these mercies bless and grant that we may feast in paradise with thee, or whatever you choose to use. But it's good to say grace and to mean it and to give thanks. There was a little girl who was supposed at the end of a meeting to give a word of thanks to the bishop who had come. And they said to her, now you go and say thank you on behalf of us all. Just pop up to the front, it'll be all right. Oh, and by the way, when you see the bishop, remember to call him Your Grace. And so she went up to the bishop and said, for what we're about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Yes, talking bishops. I was once a house surgeon down in Aylesbury, and there was a diocesan meeting of the Oxford area, Oxford diocese, and I was asked to play at short notice because something had gone amiss with the person who was supposed to be playing the music. At the end of it all, the Bishop of Oxford came to thank me, and he said, oh, he said, thank God for a doctor who can do something useful. But we do need to say thank you. We do need to say thank you to God when we eat. And don't let it become mechanical. It can, you know. We just do the same thing, the same words. Some shut their eyes and some don't, but we should all be saying thank you. I was very struck at how Jesus was always saying thanks. Did you notice that when he fed the 5,000 people, the first thing he did was to give thanks? Huh? Yes, him. He gave thanks and then fed 5,000 people. And of course, he played much on the food and drink thing in connection with what we call Holy Communion, or the Eucharist. He said himself in John 6, I am the bread of life. My life blood is drink indeed. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And my word, did the crowds misunderstand him? But when we come to communion, we are celebrating all that his sacrifice means to us. How we do it? Well, some use bread and some use biscuits. And some use fermented wine and some use fruit juice. I guess the use of fruit juice came about because of the excessive use of alcohol a couple of centuries or so ago. If you're interested in artistry, if you look at Hogarth's pictures of the drunkenness of his time, that awful picture of a crowd of drunken people on the edge of the Thames and a little baby falling into the river, and the mother completely oblivious to what's happening. But that's just a picture that was painted at the time. Alcohol was so badly misused that many of our forefathers said, right, that's it, no more alcohol for us. Now, we're a bit more free and easy nowadays about it, but that was, the reason why. I can remember as a 13-year-old signing the White Ribbons League promise, not to drink alcohol. But then, as I say, it's a matter of what we decide is best for us, but we do remember the Lord Jesus and the night of his betrayal, where the bread and the wine. Do this, he said, in remembrance of me. So we are celebrating, aren't we, our covenant relationship with him. We are a company of the redeemed, those who have been bought back. And we celebrate a kind of a compact between God and man. We sometimes call it communion. We are to be communing, that is, communicating with God in the taking of the bread and wine. It's all about relationship and commitment and sharing about his passion, about his foretaste of victory and his coming kingdom. Christ, Calvary, the resurrection. Jesus never, I think, ever talked about his crucifixion without mentioning resurrection. For him, it was all one great act. Yeah, I don't think, as far as I can recollect, he ever talked about one without the other. Now, I could be wrong. You can check up on me by all means. But I have a feeling that he always put the two together. And on the third day, arise. So when we take communion, where, yes, we are celebrating our relationship, we're celebrating our commitment to him and his kingdom and his cause, and we commune with him, communicate with him, and taking of it. We think of Calvary and the resurrection garden as one. I just suspect, you know, that more healings, physical or psychological or whatever, and certainly spiritual, take place in the communion service than any other kind of service that we celebrate and enjoy together. I think it could be a time of healing. And if you ever have a need, I would encourage you particularly to reach out at communion times. So we reach the Eucharist with awe. Not casually, but with awe. There's a lovely old hymn which I'm going to read to you now, which unfortunately is not in our present hymn book, but it says so much about it. It says here, by Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep his memory adored and show the death of our dear Lord until he comes. His body, broken in our stead, is seen in this memorial bread. And so our feeble love is fed until he comes. The drops of his dread agony, his lifeblood shed for us, we see. The wine shall tell the mystery until he comes. Until the trump of God is heard, until the ancient graves be stirred, and with a great commanding word the Lord shall come. Oh, blessed hope. With this elated, let not our hearts be desolate, but strong in faith, in patience wait until he comes. In Hebrews it says, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise and thanks. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, says Paul. And so, as we come now to communion, let's ensure that we do commune with him. As we say, Eucharisto.
You are all invited to come and share with us at this table as we remember all that he has done. I'm going to share some readings from Matthew 5, Matthew 26, and Isaiah 53. So if you are about to place your gift on the altar and remember that someone is angry with you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Make peace with that person. And then come back and offer your gift to God. He suffered and endured great pain for us. But we thought his suffering and punishment was from God. He was wounded and crushed because of our sins. By taking our punishment, he made us completely well. All of us were like sheep that have wandered off. We had each one gone our own way, but the Lord gave him the punishment that we deserved. During the meal, Jesus took some bread in his hands. He blessed the bread and broke it. Then he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body." Jesus picked up a cup of wine and gave thanks to God. He then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and drink it. This is my blood. And with it, God makes his agreement with you. It will be poured out so that many people will have their sins forgiven." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that because of all that you did, we can receive forgiveness. So this morning, we come to you and we say, "Lord, forgive us. Forgive us as we forgive those who've hurt us, as we forgive those who've talked badly about us, as we forgive those who've done or said something that's caused us pain, as we forgive them, would you forgive us?" Amen. So Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he prayed, when he'd given thanks, he broke it. Said, "This is my body, broken for you." And then he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take it and eat it, and remember my body, broken for you." So let's drink together as one body and remember his blood poured out for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the simplicity of these symbols. The bread, just ordinary bread, an ordinary drink, and yet means so much to us as we remember all that you have done for us. Amen.